I'm doing a little replay on this, considering how I heard it when I grew up. So, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells the parable of the talents, an account that for many has been read as a story about stewardship, faithfulness, and even divine reward. But for those of us attuned to the complexity of economic injustice and the radical subversion of power that Jesus actually preached, this parable asks something far deeper of us. This is a story not simply about wise investment, but about the courage to resist an unjust system. A story that in many ways resonates with the theological reflections of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King Jr. Traditionally, as I've said, many interpretations place God in the role of the master, rewarding those who invest wisely and punishing those who refuse to participate. But does this depiction of the master align with the Christ of the Gospels? This master reaps where he does not sow and gathers where he does not scatter seed. This master calls the servant wicked and lazy for refusing to participate in his financial expansion. This master casts out the one who resists, not for wrongdoing, but for inaction. Would we so easily equate this harsh, exploitative figure with the God revealed in Jesus Christ? So for a moment, consider that the third servant is not the villain of the story, but is actually its hero. The one who refuses to take part in a system built on exploitation. While the first two servants double their master's wealth, this one resists. He buries his talent, refuses to comply, and in doing so, names the master's true nature. So what if his punishment is not a divine condemnation, but the cost of prophetic witness? The church has long known such cost, from the early martyrs to modern-day prophets. Those who refuse to play by the world's rules often are cast out into the outer darkness. Yet it is often in that darkness where the light of the gospel shines brightest. This week, these last several weeks, we've seen the world wrestle with economic injustice, refugee crises, and a political climate in which truth itself is contested. Jesus' parable does not simply speak of an ancient economy. It forces us to ask what faithfulness looks like in today's structures of power and wealth. In an era where corporate profit margins skyrocket while wages stagnate, who will refuse to participate? In a time when wars displace millions and policies prioritize national interest over human dignity, who will speak truth to power? And when faith is co-opted to serve empire rather than the poor and marginalized, who will name that injustice? Like the third servant, we are often tempted to believe that resistance is futile, that our small actions will change nothing. Yet history tells us another story. Rosa Parks' refusal to move to the back of the bus, Oscar Romero's preaching justice in the face of death, and Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses to the church door. And each of them, for their resistance, was cast into darkness. Martin Luther contrasts the theology of glory, which seeks power and self-preservation, with the theology of the cross, which calls good what the world calls evil. If the cross teaches us anything, it's that true faith often looks like loss before it looks like victory. In a world that urges us to conform, this parable reminds us that sometimes faithfulness means refusal. It means rejecting the systems of exploitation, standing with the powerless, and embracing the darkness where Christ himself was cast out. It also leaves us with the question, what kind of servant will we be? Will we play by the world's rules and profit from them? Or will we, like Christ, risk everything, even rejection, for the sake of darkness? Perhaps we can think about the outer darkness as not a place of punishment, but the very space where God is at work, where Christ in his suffering dwells among the forgotten and the cast aside. And that is precisely where we too are called to be. We share the sermon at St. Lydia's, and we'll